Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media. This is the underground. This is new media.
Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Mainstream fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. This is your Game 3 wrap-up of the Eastern Conference Finals. Sunday, May 20th, Game 4 tomorrow. The Rangers, a carbon copy, 3-0 shutout. It's game one all over again. Eddie, how are you?
Yes, the Rangers lead the series 2-1. A virtual carbon copy, a virtual Groundhog Day of every game, pretty much in the playoffs for the Rangers. Basically under siege for a lot of the game. And dominated, I will say it. I'll say the word. I ain't too proud to beg. I ain't too proud to say that. I think that, if it wasn't for the great Henrik Lundqvist.
Sweet darling, please don't leave me now, don't you
know.
Ain't too proud to plead, baby,
baby. All right, okay. You skinning a cat over there? No, you actually have some nice styling.
Ow, my pride.
But I took it back. I said, okay, yeah, that was none. That wasn't done. The vocal stylings were appreciated. I mean, you know, my bottom line, it's the Henrik Lundqvist show. I mean, this takes no brains whatsoever. You watch the game, whether you're an amateur or a well-versed in hockey, fan of hockey, Henrik Lundqvist is brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
He's all right.
He's all right. So, you know, I know you got a lot to say, but I just wanted to say, and we were talking about this before the show, it's hard to talk about these games when they're really they're basically the same game. Kreider scores, a defenseman scores, and they win. And you take out the defenseman scoring, and maybe we don't win. It's basically the same thing. But they keep winning, so it's hard to... It certainly cannot be kept over like this is going to be their system going forward in the future. But for now... They're winning more than they're losing, and they're five games away. Six games away from possibly winning the Stanley Cup. And Los Angeles, what happened? I thought all the people were creaming in their jeans about the Kings. They finally lost the game.
Keeping the dream alive.
It's all Hank and... So you talk about what you got to talk. I'll be a reactionary. I'll be a guy who'll sit here and just don't say.
How? Again?
Only kidding, bro.
Yo, kid, I'm only kidding, kid.
Hey, brah. Hey, brah.
Hey, brah.
By the way, a quick side note. I got a text message from my son. Today was day three of the Bamboozle concert in Asbury Park. You know, Bayside was playing today.
Right.
And, my son got to see Nick Ganbarian, listener and guest of the show, and was at our viewing party. And Nick introduced him around as my buddy Jimmy.
Oh,
introduced him to the band. Gave my son a special wristband. He got a special limited edition poster. And he was getting signed by the band. And I said, I'm going to get you a shirt that says, whose dad is cooler than your dad? This guy right here.
Wow, that's good,
so,
man.
So, yeah, he's on cloud nine. So that's a little side note for you. Do you want the bad news? Do you want the expected news? At least as far as I'm concerned, it was expected. Or do you want my story?
Well, I think the expected news, I think you're talking about the Brandon Prust suspension.
Yes, one game suspension, which is exactly what I was telling people yesterday. I thought he would get one game. And I thought, you know, look, I think Ranger fans are being a little biased. I thought he deserved it. I was watching the game with Justin and Nick Tertilli here yesterday. Had him over the house, and we were all in agreement. It was pretty cheap. It was pretty cheap. And if it was the other way around, we'd be screaming for a lifetime ban and straight the guy up by his toenails and let's waterboard the motherfucker. You know,
some of these peeps got to take off the range of colored glasses. It is what it is. You know, and one game is fine. I think that's appropriate. Although, you know, John Tortorella's answer to this still bothers the hell out of me. I don't know why this doesn't upset Ranger fans more. And what I mean by the answer is the lineup change that's going to happen. That, you know, instead of Prust, most likely, we're going to see Bickle back on defense and Emminger replacing Prust. I mean, is that what you surmise is going to happen?
I don't know. Dancing Larry Brooks was kicking up some rumors on Twitter earlier today.
Oh, what was he saying? I was...
Dubinsky.
Get out of here.
Dubinsky.
That's non-confirmed. Dubinsky. You know the way this team keeps everything shrouded, you know. It's the shroud of Turin over there, but that's the rumor that it could be.
Dubinsky.
Thank you.
That's my normal voice.
Dubinsky.
So what you're saying to me is that Brandon Dubinsky, who was a couple days ago dressed in orange and a skate, where he was doing his best imitation of the pylon, is now ready to play in game four of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Again, that was just speculation on Dancing Larry's part. Dancing Larry Brooks.
Well,
Dancing Larry Daughtry.
I think Brandon Dubinsky, this would be a great series for him to participate in. I really think he can get under some of the devil's skin. I mean, he's viewed as a weasel by other teams, and he certainly can mix it up. God knows we need some fresh legs out there. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care. I'm not buying Tortorella when he says this team is not tired. When the only guys that can skate are the guys that joined us in midseason or didn't start off with the team in Europe and a handful of defensemen, you know, less than a handful of defensemen. I'm not buying we're not tired. I mean, playoffs, this team is not used to being in the playoffs. First of all, they're a young team. They've had a grueling season. Started in Europe. The Winter Classic. Tortorella playing these guys to death.
24-7.
24-7. Playing the guys the defenseman, the triple overtime game where Ryan McDonough nearly played 52 minutes, almost played a whole hockey game. I mean, it's just to me, and the way they play, you know, blocking shots, this and that. I am convinced that a lot of these guys are just dead. So why not get Dubinsky if he's healthy? That'd be great. I pose this, and I don't know why Ranger fans aren't screaming about it, is that I don't know what the rules are. I know there isn't a frozen roster like there is in other games, another sports, but why can't the Rangers even think about bringing up some guys?
They did.
You know,
they did bring up. They brought up, like, guys last week. They've got like a little taxi squad of guys that are practicing together.
I didn't get no memo. You got to keep me informed of these things.
We talked about it the other night, or maybe not the last show, but maybe the show before that.
Because
we were
Cam
talking
Talbot.
About. Yeah, that fucker.
I only bring up Cam Talbot for. Come on. Is he New York City?
It's like the bullpen goalie. And they brought, because we were talking about Erickson. I don't want to get sidetracked on a whole Tim Erickson thing, but I don't understand. I'm sorry, but nobody can convince me that Steve Emminger and Stu Bickel are better options in that sixth defenseman slot than Tim Erickson. You can't. Steve Emminger, come on.
If
you only play Stu Bickel for 3 minutes, can't Tim Erickson play those 3-4 minutes and see what happens?
I have to apologize to the fans for not doing my homework. I had no idea that these guys were brought up. And it looks like, Newberry? Lobster,
yeah.
Newberry?
Yeah, Lobster Newberry.
Useless as tits on a bull. What else you got?
Erickson?
Erickson.
Jody, Marty, Asha, Shabashal, Masa Shaw.
Audie
Murphy? Right. That's the guy.
He's a small center. He's a playmaker.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
Brought up Jake Miller? They don't even have him. He's in juniors.
McElrath. They brought up McElrath.
McElrath with the team?
Yeah, but we'll see. They're practicing, as you know, like I said, this is AHL taxi squad thing. But guys like McElrath and JT Miller, they can't play with the Rangers because they're not signed.
No.
But
still
Tim Erickson can.
But he's not going to play Tim Erickson.
Why?
Because Tim Erickson's not physical. He wants that guy who plays 4 minutes, 5 minutes to have a little bit of grit to him. You know, that's it. Erickson is not that guy. Erickson is next
to Zuccarello.
How far is Zuccarello away from coming back?
Game 5 is the rumor on Zuccarello.
They need him. I never thought I'd be saying that, but they need him. He was playing well before he got hurt.
What do they need him for? Put him on the power?
I don't know.
On this red-hot power play? The red-hot 40% in this series power play? You want to tinker with the power play?
Yeah. I really do.
This power play is a well-oiled machine. Bang, 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 score! Come on.
Well, I don't think Brad Richards and Gavin doing anything. I mean,
no.
We need fresh legs, dude. We need fresh bodies out there.
I agree.
We need all the lively swinging dicks in the field we can get.
By the way, I don't know if you heard, but there was some sad news today. We lost another one.
Who?
Robin Gibb.
Who cares? BGs were a plague on the 70s and 80s. You know what I really mourned? A couple
Just
days ago, Paul Sear died.
Paul Sear, yes. Paul Sear died Friday. Complications from diabetes, and he had a heart attack, and he was only 48 years old. I was surprised that he was only 48. I, for some reason, thought he was much older. I guess he must have been younger than I thought he was when he played for the Rangers.
Paul Sera also, he had a rough life. I think he got shot in a bar one time.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
During his playing days. Oh, everybody's, now I got to hear everything about people care about the Bee Gees. Well, I don't care. Disco sucks. I'm a rock guy. I used to have a satin jacket that used to say disco sucks. Why did I admit that?
Wow.
No, I actually didn't have a
good
I
night, everybody!
Good night, satin jacket. Put on your satin jackets and good night. You know what, though? Yeah. Fuck the Bee Gees. It's New York Rangers hockey, and Bella's all hot and bothered because her boy Brandon's coming back. Well, I hope he does come back. We need something. We need somebody who has the force.
You know, the other thing about Brandon Dubinsky is he plays better when he's got that hatred in him, and he hates the Devils.
Yeah.
Flyers and Devils.
Well, he needs a fire lit under his ass. And when he has that, he plays well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so tell me you have a story.
Oh, you want to hear this story? So the other night, I climbed the Himalayas, right? 40,000, 50,000 feet. You know, I start climbing the Himalayas. Three hours later, I get to the top, and I come across this Sherpa, right? And he says, "You are the first person to come here in hundreds of years. I've accumulated thousands and thousands of years of wisdom on a great many subjects. What is it you would like to know?" And I said, "Why is Dan Girardi on the power play?" And he says, "You must have patience. Patience." And yes,
easy
today we
shot
got
when Brodeur can see it. Right off the draw, Girardi goes in! Third period on the power play, Dan Girardi gets the goal to give the Rangers a 1-0 lead.
And he was the hero of game one early in the third.
Dan Girardi. Our questions have been answered, Eddie.
I don't know. It's like opposite. Everything opposite works. It's bizarro world. And when George was doing everything the opposite in Seinfeld.
Right. Right. All my life I've ordered tuna on toast. And it's never gotten me anywhere.
Right. I mean, you know, it's surprising. You know, that's all I could say.
That it is. Now, I want to get back to this campaign that we talked about with Kenny Albert that the Devils launched called No Blue, where they wanted to direct their fans to only sell their tickets to Devil fans to keep Ranger fans out of the building. Now let's listen to this one more time.
It's an easy shot when Brodeur can see it. Right off the draw, Girardi goes scores!
And I love the fact that at that place in Newark they start playing Iron Man when the Rangers scored. Like, what is that? We call Dan Girardi Iron Man because all the minutes he puts in. It just seems like an odd choice of music. But listen to how loud that crowd was. Now, Billy Jaffe and Ken Danico on the MSG postgame last night said, "Oh, the Devils did a great job keeping the Ranger fans out." Danico said it was 85-15 Devils fans. And Jaffe said 80-20. So,
first of all,
let me just finish the thought. It's pure BS by MSG Networks. Believe what we tell you, not what you see and hear. Now, just listen. Here's the Chris Kreider goal, okay? And we'll listen to the crowd. Listen to the crowd reaction one more time. Hold on. Let me get this queued up. Here we go.
Kreider in front, the center is pass blocked. Second attempt to the board. Score! Ryan McDonough and Kovalchuk missed the puck on the boards, and it's 2-0 Rangers.
as well play the goal song. That's how loud that crowd was. You're gonna tell me 17,000 fans? I looked at the attendance. It was 17,000 fans at the game. So if Billy Jaffe's correct, 3,400 of them were Ranger fans. You're gonna tell me 3,400 people are making that much noise? And that was the that was the Hockey Night in Canada feed. They don't turn down the crowd microphones like I noticed. They were kind of toned down on NBC. You'll hear when I play the Callahan goal. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
First of all, I don't know how I give you credit for actually being able to concentrate on what comes out of Billy Jaffe's mouth, because he's got those caterpillars as eyebrows that fully mesmerize me that I can't. I'm just watching those things, so I don't even hear what's coming out of his mouth. So when Caterpillar starts talking, and certainly by that clip there, the first clip, why are they playing songs after the Rangers score?
At the Garden, they play when the other team scores, they play dun 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 after an opposing team goal. They play that on the organ. I get that, but Iron Man just seemed like a very strange choice of songs. I don't know.
What are they doing?
But, no blue, no clue.
Yeah, you're not going to do it. You can't keep arranged that. There were people I know or posted on the Facebook group about they were there at the game, and they said there was like 40% Ranger fans there, you know. And, of course, you know, we're much louder or much prouder. I mean, you know, for the most
better
part.
Better looking?
I've only been to the Pebble once. I can't really make a... You're an expert on New Jersey, so you know. But I'm an expert on Long Island, which is even, I think, worse than New Jersey.
There are beautiful women in New Jersey, but they're Ranger fans.
That's true.
So, that's what they were trying to sell you on the MSG post-game show. I thought Ranger fans did a good job getting good and loud. And by the time the Rangers scored the empty goal, all the Devil fans were gone, which I love that. Yeah. Like Emily said, you could hear the Ranger fans chanting Marty.
That's embarrassing.
That is.
That's embarrassing. You shouldn't ever let that happen. You want to make sure your fans fill the stadium so those people can be drowned out. Or stay just to drown them. Or beat them up. Is that really not opposed to violence when it comes to fans? I mean, listen, I'm not here. I'm not some kind of priest. Wait, maybe that's the wrong thing. I'm not here to be politically correct and tell everybody. Listen, I get frustrated with other teams, the idiots that come to our building and root. I mean, you do it nicely, you joke around, but if you become an idiot, somebody's going to get slapped. A little angry today, a little ornery, even after a win.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know. I think this... I mean, I don't know if you guys feel this way, too. Maybe this is so freaking grueling with the Rangers every game. It takes the life out of me. I'm exhausted after the game. I'm tired. I'm cranky even when we win. I'm shaking like a leaf during the third period. You know, like when, you know, Easy Money, when... he's trying to glue the plane, the model together, and his daughter is playing the violin or whatever, and he's trying to... That's how my hands are during the game. Like that. I can't calm down. It's just going to get worse, because this is going seven games. The next series is going seven games. I mean, it's ludicrous. I mean, I don't know. It's been a long season, Jim. Long season.
It has. And I think, I don't know if you read the post today, but I think Dancer Larry Brooks hit it on the head. He said they are tired, and they can only – what they're doing is they're conserving their energy, playing in spurts, and that's – and then they pour it on in the third period. They're letting – you know, like we've said, letting the goaltender keep them in the game. The defense is completely comfortable playing almost entire periods in their own zone. And then the third period, they turn it on. I mean, if you think about it, because we talked about it after game one, how it's a, it was really kind of a boilerplate of how so many games looked in the regular season. And, you, and I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is their strategy. Maybe this isn't by accident. Maybe it's not the ass-chewing in between second and third periods. Or maybe, I mean, the timeout, I think, had a little bit to do with it because they did seem to regroup.
Yeah, they played much better at that.
I mean, maybe this is a little more strategy than we're than dumb luck than we're thinking.
But, Jim,
I mean,
the way they played in the regular season predominantly was not like this. This is how they played in the playoffs. In the regular season, they established a forecheck. They got the puck down low. Yes, it didn't result in a lot of offense, but territorially, what's the word? How do you say that?
Territorial.
Whatever. Territorially, there was some balance. The Devils got to be besides themselves. They basically their game plan is. Do the same thing. They don't need to change anything. But I'll tell you what. The Rushki, Kovalchuk.
Grachev? Oh.
No. Okay. Oh. Grachev. Krachev. But when Lundqvist, if Lundqvist makes a couple saves on him, he goes off into la-la land. He disappears. He gets frustrated very easy. I know he still got five. I think he had five shots in the last game. And he's a guy to watch if Lundqvist can keep a good run up of frustrating him. Because, but it's not even that line. It's every line. It's that fourth line of theirs. It's the Peter Harrells of the world. You know, not the defensemen on the Devils have free reign to do anything, five on five. The Rangers are putting five guys collapsing down low between the circles. They're leaving the defensemen to sit there and pass the puck between each other. Like, I mean, there was like 3 minutes. But they win. I don't get it. It really defies all the laws of logic and Ranger lore, because when the Rangers get dominated, they lose. They lose big time. They don't come out winning, and they've done it for now three rounds. Maybe it's destiny. I don't know. But Henrik Lundqvist is a god. They should just raise the banner right now. I mean, retire his number while he's still playing. I mean, this guy is the best goalie ever to suit up for the Rangers. He's fantastic. And I hope that these people are watching, even though they say it doesn't count, you know, the ballots for the Vezina, but I hope that they're watching because finally he's getting to be seen for what he has to deal with.
The mess in front of him.
I mean, really. I mean, all these, and this is a good mess. How about the other messes? You know, with the Wade Reddins and the Roosevelts and the...
Right.
I dare Malik. Say Paul Maric. Paul Maric.
Maric Maliks.
So, you know, it's... they keep winning, like I said, six games away and you got a Stanley Cup.
Rope-a-dope hockey. That's what it is.
But, you know, it comes back to it. They're a young team. You've got guys like Gabrick. I know people are starting to get on him. He's never been this deep in the playoffs. Brad Richards hasn't been in the playoffs in 3 years. Maybe, you know, and plus the grind of it all. You know, it's and the way Tortorella runs them through the ringer. You cannot play four and a half defensemen in the playoffs. But apparently you can. But
you can if Napoleon says you can.
It's like he's just sapping everything out of them. It's frustrating to watch. To me, it's frustrating to watch. But, you know, people like Anthony saying in the chat room, oh, pedal to the metal tomorrow. I can't. How can I believe that?
What?
What's
pedal to the metal for this team? 1-0 going into the third period.
Really?
What's 1-0? They get a Gabrick deflection? By the way, he's Marion. I'm not even calling him Gabby right now.
He's back in Chateau Bow Wow with you guys again?
I'm annoyed with him. He had like 3 opportunities to shoot the puck yesterday and just either passed it or lost it.
Listen, you know the game that and justifiably so, he should have been benched for not giving it 100% and you know, on the goal the Devils got in game 2. But, you know, he had his chances. I mean, he did have that shot on the great Brodeur Scorpion save. I love how they're giving his saves. Meanwhile, Henrik Lundqvist is single-handedly keeping the Rangers ahead in this series. And they're naming Brodeur's saves. Give it a break. The Scorpion save. Ugh. And how did you think Emminger played in his limited role?
All right.
A lot of rust. Right.
Yeah, expected.
There's a lot of rust.
I don't know. I just don't see. I don't know. You know, I keep. After Girardi scored a power play goal yesterday, I feel like I have no right to question anything anymore. I feel like I've completely lost my, you know. Everything I say just turns out to be wrong. Brian Boyle still stinks, by the way. He stinks.
He's bad.
Oh my God. Talk about... You could clock that guy skating down ice with a sundial.
Did you see one of the shots he took in that game last night? Yesterday? It looked like he was passing the puck to Brodeur. It was so weird.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly the one you're talking about. I was going to say...
It's like you're sick... I know it was the end of the shift, but it looked like we all passed to get back to Brodeur. Didn't even look like a shot.
Here, I got to head for the bench. You take this.
Yeah, take it. I got to go.
Here, take it. Take it.
Take it. I mean, you know, I've been, you know, trying to stay off Boyle, but I don't know. It's just so freaky that they play so bad and they win. But you can't really bitch because they're winning.
Right.
I'm like totally torn in like 15 different directions. If they were losing 6-0, I could say, you know what? You stink. You stink. You're horrible. This and that. But then they come out winning. So you, it's like, it's a weird thing. But I look at it like this. I think the Rangers have got so much room for improvement over the next coming years. I'm just glad to be here right now. And we know as Ranger fans, there have been hundreds of games where we should have won and we wound up losing because of some dumb circumstance that's never been seen before. So, hey, maybe a little bit of luck is coming our way. And
right.
I'm glad to receive it. It's welcome, but I wish they could, as a fan, I wish they could equal our emotion and as much as we put into it with kind of on the ice, take it mentality. You know, because, you know, frankly, I know we have a couple devil spies in here tonight. Devils aren't that good. They're just fresher. That's it. They're just not. You know, they're just not tired. It's bull dinky that the Rangers aren't tired. I mean, what do they got people down? Do you think they're tired? I think they're tired. How could you have no pushback on anything?
What I don't get is we sit here and say they look tired, but then they come out and play the way they did in the third period. Which is why I think... but still, if they were that tired, you wouldn't think they'd be able to muster that 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, whatever it is, at all. I think it's rope-a-dope. I really do. I think they're I think they are tired to a certain extent, and they're conserving themselves for that third period. I really do.
I don't
know. Larry Brooks put it like, how did he put it? They're like a heavyweight, an older heavyweight, or not an older heavyweight, a heavyweight in the middle rounds of a brutal fight or something like that. You know, where they're just kind of, they're kind of coasting at the moment, hanging on and putting it out there in spurts.
But could you do this with any other goalie than Henrik Lundqvist?
If they had any other goalie, they would have been out in the first round.
Right. I mean, you know, there's only people that could pull off the rope-a-dope. Like, Ali was great at the rope-a-dope.
But that's why they had Henrik Lundqvist.
Jerry Thuny couldn't pull off the rope-a-dope because that Marty Piron was net.
He was just a dope.
He's just a dope. No rope-a-dope. If we had Piron in there, that would be like Jerry Cooney.
Well, but that's why they have Henrik Lundqvist.
I don't know.
You know, when you have the best goaltender in hockey, you could do these things. You know, if you got Chris Mason in there, you finish 13th in the conference.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why they're trying to reinvent the game. Take a barrage and then and hope you get, like, some cheap goals. Why don't you just... I mean, you got some players with talent. I don't understand why there's no odd man rushes, why there's no... What am I... It's like looking at a gift horse in the mouth. They're winning, so why am I annoyed? And I think it's kind of puzzling to the analysts, too. They want to praise the Devils. And listen, I'm not going to apologize for those buffoons on NBC. They're all jackasses in spades over there. But they want to praise... They're praising the Devils, but the Rangers are winning the games. So they better get their focus on Henrik Lundqvist real quick and make him the story of the game, you know, instead of the great job that David Clarkson is doing.
Right.
You know, so. So I thought Emminger looked iffy. And I hope Dubinsky comes back tomorrow because I don't want to see Emminger on the wing. I think it's just totally useless. And putting those guys up there.
Well, to me, you don't experiment with stuff like that in the playoffs, even if it is for 3-4 minutes a game. You know, this isn't the time to do that. You want to do that in December when you're in, you know, when you play it in Minnesota, fine, you know, or when you play it in Calgary or Calgary, as Bernie Nichols calls it.
To me, it's almost like you're giving up, like, we just need him to eat minutes. You don't want, especially when you have a team that, you know, is so hard pressed to score. I know it's only 3 or 4 minutes, but I want a guy who could actually maybe score and lift the team. I mean, they're so desperate for goal scoring. Why we got to give up another position? I mean, you know, the forwards we dress stink scoring wise, for the most part. I mean, you want to throw a defenseman out there? I mean, I take anybody. Anybody except John Scott. That's how bad John Scott is.
No.
I still would take over John Scott. You had some other things you wanted to
Dubinsky,
talk about.
Just to finish up on Dubinsky, he skated a full practice today, and they asked him about when he might be able to return, and all he said was, "I'm going to follow Torts rules, no timeline." Next question. So, yeah. So that's
the story. They're calling for the Torts clip.
They want the. I'll tell you, people love that clip. They were talking about it in a group the other day. People are making it their ringtone, and everybody gets a kick out of it. All right. Where did I put it? Here it is. Here you go.
I'll answer these questions here first.
What?
Nope. Next question.
Just ask the question, please.
not talking about the refs.
No.
Next question.
Not talking about the calls.
No.
No.
Not talking about the game.
What?
It becomes a mental game.
It's just one game.
Next question.
Do you have a chance?
Yeah.
Next question.
We need to attack.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes, I do.
What?
Next question.
No.
Night now.
Both power play stunk. Come both teams stunk. These type of situations happen for a reason, and it's good stuff. It's real good stuff. It's really good things. There was a lot of bad things, but there's some good things.
It just keeps on building.
What?
Yes.
No.
And I'm not trying to be a smart
chance, but stuff like that,
it's a bunch of crap.
I disagree how our team's been portrayed here, but
stop coaching, Pat. Next question.
I'm talking about the refs.
No.
Next question.
I'm talking about the game.
Next question.
Just ask the question.
Wait.
We'll play the same way.
Keep banging away.
Next question.
No update.
Good. Thank you.
4 million.
Keep your fucking discipline here now.
The Torts remix. Keep it in the room. So,
wow.
Everybody likes that.
I see we got a lot of phone calls.
Except the Torts haters. You ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's see what they got to say.
All right, let's go to Justin, what's up? Long time no talk.
Yeah, all right. What's up, Dick? What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's going on, brother?
Not too much.
I feel like I've spent my whole weekend with Justin.
Pretty much, yeah.
He was over here yesterday to watch the game. Then last night we were on Xbox Live playing Halo 3. And then this afternoon we were on Xbox Live along with Chris the Meat playing Halo 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Maybe I'll trade my Atari and get an Xbox.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty awesome at it. But.
He is. And I completely lost my skills. I am literally like Willie Mays in the 73 World Series for the Mets. Just hanging on, fly balls going over my, I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. I need to really work on my game. But anyway.
So
what's going on, Justin?
I just want to say, what a fucking waste of an entry-level contract. Like, why would you even just wait a year on an entry-level contract to get a kid who just played in college and then comes in and has 5 goals in the first 3 rounds of the playoffs? You know, it's what a waste.
Set an NHL record yesterday.
Well, I have to say.
See that, Eddie?
Well, no, I didn't.
Yeah, the most points by a player in the playoffs before playing a regular season game. Chris Kreider, 7 points.
That's terrific.
Yeah, he's
good.
Awesome.
I want to, you know, and Justin, I have to say, and I know Justin was being very sarcastic there, because Justin was one of the first people that called into this show saying, I mean, ringing the bell, ringing the chimes, you know, saying, bring in Kreider, let's get him. This, you know, he's totally what the Rangers need. And I salute you, sir, because you were indeed right. And those people who didn't want, who were afraid about the 1 year burning his contract of entry level deal,
haven't proven wrong because
Frank and the Rangers wouldn't even be in this round if it wasn't for Kreider. So you know, guys,
yeah,
all
no,
perfectly.
Yeah, we so glad we called him up, and I can't wait till Doobie gets back. It's just like, it's not only the fact that we're getting Doobie back, which will be really exciting, but also the fact that we can get rid of John Mitchell finally, Dubinsky. As if I have to watch him any longer.
Dubinsky. I don't know. Tortorella has been still adamant about how John Mitchell is playing well. He just needs to score. And I understand that, but... I'm not waiting. I'm not holding my breath waiting for John Mitchell to score. He hasn't. I think, didn't we say on this show that he has no power play goals, yet he plays the second line power play?
Yeah, he's terrible.
And I'm also, let me yell here for a second.
Here it comes.
I'm hearing these other detractors creeping up on me with the Artem Anisimov again.
Oh, boy.
These Ranger fans are starting to get with the Autumn bashing again. He's too soft. He gets it. But you know what? He's better than half the jerks we got on his team. Leave Marty alone.
He's certainly better than Mitchell. Everybody is. But I like Artie. I think he's...
Ouch.
He needs to be up. He should be on the third line at least. You need to stop putting him on the fourth line.
I mean, I understand the guy is not a big dude. I mean, he's big, he's tall, he's lanky, but he's not... And he's not going to be the physical guy you want at that height. Just accept it. But he's got... He certainly has gotten some goals in this playoffs. You know, I don't know why. I think it's still that anti-Russian thing. People have... I don't know. It's weird. If his name was,
Scott?
Yeah, Dirk McFadden or something. People would be like, oh, American born, I like him. But, I don't know. What do I know? What do I know?
I like Artie. He's good. He's good for us. And, he might not be getting as many goals as we want, but he'll come around. He's playing well. He's working hard. He's a good defensive centerman, and he's playing well. And,
I wanted to ask you, was Jim flipping out about Gavrik yesterday?
Yes.
Oh. Trying to make it seem pretty. I had a feeling this was a little bit deeper than he had portrayed it. What was he saying about Gaberick?
He won't call him Gabby. He's going to call him Marion.
Oh, well, that'll get him going.
Oh, this is for the guy who calls him Zsa Zsa.
Zsa Zsa Gaborik. you got me there.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to call him Gabby. I'm following your rules. If you're not playing good, you don't have a nickname. Got to be playing good to have your nickname. So for right now,
that's
he's
right.
Marion. He's not Gabby. Marion.
I think he needs to shoot the puck a little bit more, but he, I didn't think it was that bad. I mean,
I think we're expecting him to be as impactful as, say, Kovalchuk or Parisi is for the Devils, and he's not. And Brad Richards certainly is not also. Brad Richards has been, really, to me, kind of invisible. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, we saw him on the ice, what was that, about the end of the first, towards the end of the first period or the second period, Justin? And I said, oh, there's Brad Richards.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a healthy scratch.
Yeah, you did say that. I don't know. All I know is I'm happy that we won, and I'm happy that we really, took it to them in the third. And, as far as the Devils go, they are, they're playing pretty tough in the neutral zone. It's a little hard to take it in to the offensive zone. So it's kind of hard to blame them for struggling a little bit, but, they really did turn it on in the third.
Yeah, I mean, the critical point was the Tortorella timeout. They really did. I mean, that got them going, and they continued it in the third period. And if you're looking for any sympathy, like going back to what you were saying, Joe, with Danico and I don't know why I thought about this, and Billy Jaffe, come on. I thought Danico was going to cry because they lost.
Well, how do you pronounce the Devil's coach name? DeBauer, De Douchebag, De Bitch? Well, how do you pronounce that?
De Bitch. De Bitch. I like that guy.
De Boob.
The boob, the boring.
He accused Prust of headhunting and saying he did it on purpose. Like, really? You're such a douchebag. Your own goalie just told us that they should take slap shots for our head and our ankles, and you want to complain about false headhunting? Go fuck yourself.
He's another one. Go pout. Go cry. I got to see you. And it's funny, they have this MSG. Well, you guys aren't. You guys get MSG anyway, right?
Yeah, we watched the post game.
Do you see that that parade they got? Holy cow! I mean, it's like Battle of the Network Toupees on there. The cable network toupees. They got freaking Resch. Well, Marty. He's like Kermit the Frog when he's talking, that guy. The devil's just outplayed them. Cancelosi looks like some kind of raccoon. Something's going on. You need some sleep. Get some sleep, Steve.
Can't we just banish everything devils to like MSG fucking 5 or something? Like, no one cares about the devils.
Put
just
it on Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Well, I mean, who cares? Nobody cares.
Why do we have to share the post game? Fuck them.
Fuck that shit. First of all, what is Ron Duquette thinking? Come on. He looks like they gave, like, I guess, good clothes from like the mid '80s to a homeless guy right now. I mean, he looks like a homeless. Take a shit. You look ridiculous. I mean,
wait a minute, that's not Bon Jovi?
He looks like Barry Manilow. Like, I don't know, like a homeless Barry Manilow or something. I don't know. And then you got Maloney, he looks like Fischler. It's a freak show, that broadcast. And Sam, it's Barry. Oh, God.
So... What? I don't understand. Why is everybody being so hard on Torch for his post game? For I was gonna say something about it last week. I didn't get a chance to call in, but like, I mean, I don't understand. It's not really his job to talk to the media. Look how far he's gotten us. I mean, are we still gonna be complaining about his post games if we win the Stanley Cup?
It is his job to talk to the media. That is part of his job. He just doesn't like that part of his job. That's part of his job. He's the head coach. The GM sure as hell isn't speaking to the media. It's like once a year he comes down out of the – they let him out of the ivory tower. You know, it's like something out of Game of Thrones.
Well, he gave him –
Now, wait a minute. First of all, Gina's talking about Duguay being married to – what's her face? Right now, I had my picture snap with that chick. You couldn't tell the difference between me and her now. She is so ugly, that chick. It looks like she's been hit by 5 trains.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry, man. What's her name again?
Kim Alexis.
I don't know if they're... Kim Alexis. Oh, God. She looks like she was hit by Alexis. Jeez. I mean, really. I don't know what's happened to her.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I'm literally personal.
She used.
So I'm no.
Howie says she got. She used to do the Depends ads, and then what? She got too old. All right, Justin. Listen, we got to run. We'll talk to you later.
All right, you guys are fucking hilarious. I'll talk to you guys later. Fuck the devil.
Thanks.
Fuck their spiteful Twitter.
Bye. Oh my God! She looks like she
got hit. Gina in the chat room is, you know, she's defending him, which is cool. That's fine. Everybody has their opinions. But you don't think there's anything wrong with that getup that he's wearing? I don't know.
Good thing that Jerry Nagle ain't here.
Oh, she loves him. Well, you can love him. Go ahead. I don't know. I'm just telling you. I think it's ridiculous.
He's a buffoon.
It's a little fruity. So little fruity. You're either fruity all the way. Middle ground and fruit. Okay. Go, let's go all to right. the next goal.
Well, hold on. I want to stop. I want to have a pause here because I don't want to make it look like we're segueing into the next call. So we'll just pause. Let's go back to the phones. Good evening, DB Maven. How are you?
That's a hell of a segue.
Well, I didn't want it to be like, and this guy's a fruit, and he's this, and he's that, and hello, DB Maven.
Well, sometimes. I really do think that Duguay is trying to get a co-host spot with the Knicks.
Oh, my. Somebody just posted.
Can you imagine?
Kim Alexis.
What?
Wow. That Victor Emily just put up. Holy monkeys. I would, as George Carlin used to say, I wouldn't screw her with a stolen dick.
Emily posted a link?
Yeah, to see the Christopher Reeve website link.
Oh, that's not Emily, that's Kevin Stewart.
Oh, I thought,
Jeez.
No, it's right under Emily's name. I don't see Kevin's name there.
Oh,
anyway,
geez.
Click the link.
I am. That's click. Why I'm saying, oh, Jesus.
Help me, Lord. Help me.
Holy cow. What happened to her? Oh, well, that's just...
To live with Duguay, what do you expect? She opens his closet, looks at his get-ups, and just cries.
Well, I look at the picture. Oh, Ron Duguay starring on Broadway and Driving Miss Daisy.
He's prettier than her.
Angela Lansbury.
Cutter even comes up with a good one. My God, she looks like a young Phyllis Diller.
or an old Chewbacca.
All right, okay,
tough
enough.
Crowd, tough
all
right. crowd.
It is.
Enough. You know, listen, we're all a bunch of ugly fucks. What are we talking about here? So DB, give me your words of wisdom. What's going on?
I had to laugh because there was a long time, a bunch of weeks ago, I got into an argument with a guy, I think it was on Blue Shirt Banter, who was like, this team won't go anywhere, they can't play this style, and they'll never go anywhere in the playoffs. And I was like, they've been playing playoff hockey all year long. The style is exactly what you have to do in the playoffs. And it's true. Just you watch the games, and it's a carryover from the regular season. It's the exact same thing. And it's heartbreaking when you're going in and you're wringing your hands for two periods because they can't put a goal in the back of the net, and they're either down one or maybe they're up one or maybe it's still tied. But it's playoff hockey that they've been playing all year, which is why you get to the third period, and they're comfortable, and they come out, and they put the pedal down, and they go.
Well, I mean, I agree with you in a lot of what you say. I don't think playoff hockey, I mean, it's kind of like a give and take and a push and a pushback and I feel like, you know, teams have opportunities and it's close-knit for a while and there's momentum, swings back and forth. I feel it's just so lopsided in the other team's favor that to me it doesn't represent what I think playoff hockey is. It's certainly Ranger hockey that we've gotten accustomed to. I mean, that for sure is right. Although I thought they didn't play that way, when they were really going well, you know, they were playing more of a game where they really got on the forecheck and generated chances from the forecheck. I don't see any of that anymore.
Well, I think it's still there, but it's not there in the quantity that you're used to seeing, which is what's frustrating. But recognize that you're down, theoretically at least, to the four best teams in the league. You're down to teams probably with the four best defenses, and they're managing to win games. And that's, you know, they're doing what it takes to win. That's the bottom line. And I kind of I laugh at your statement that it's not what you think playoff hockey should be. It's Rangers hockey, but it's not what you want to see in the playoffs. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, the whole new NHL post-lockout with the, you know, clutching and grabbing remove was supposed to be a faster, more offensive game. Well, not really.
Okay. But I see it's offensive for the Devils. It was offensive. And the Devils, who I deem as a team that, frankly, out of the three opponents the Rangers have faced so far, I feel like they're the least talented. Or equipped to play that playoff hockey game, to play that game. That's the way I look at it. You know.
See, I think what you're getting at is that the offensive, you know, you would have expected Philadelphia to do better, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. But the Devils' forecheck exposed the Philadelphia weakness, which is their defense. Especially, you know, with the gaps that they had. Right? And, well, and Mr. Universe. Okay? But that's the bottom line, that they managed to do what was necessary to expose the Philadelphia weakness, which is really their defense and, to your point, their goalie. You get enough shots on Brizgalov, especially from, you know, or as some of the guys in the chat room are calling him, Brizaster. which I really liked. I got a good chuckle from that. I think that was Howie. the difference here is that the Rangers really don't have that weakness. They are not as strong on their third pair as they are on their first two. You know, when the Devils' forecheck really gets going, it's usually the third pair.
Right.
You know, but the bottom line is, I mean, what will be interesting is if the Rangers do manage to get out of the series, and I sure hope they do, what will happen against the LA Kings? That will be one hell of a matchup.
Well, they're very similar teams. I mean, I know that they've been on a roll, LA, with the scoring. Dustin Brown's having a great playoff. They've managed to find goals. Their power play isn't going, but it would be the two best teams at that type of hockey going at it.
I really do. And speaking of power plays, can you believe that the Rangers' power play is 40%?
It's a juggernaut. There's no, you
can't
stop the
it.
Rangers' power play. You can only hope to contain them.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it just goes to show you that if you give a team 100 games, they'll get it right.
Is that like putting 100 monkeys in front of a typewriter and they'll write a classic?
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Oh, my God.
All right,
unbelievable.
We got a bunch of calls we got to take before we wrap up.
Good, leave
nice
me on
DP.
Hold.
All right, we'll leave you on hold. Good to hear from you.
Good
yeah.
to see you guys. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Okay. All right. DB on hold. And let's see. We got a Skype call or block number 111. You're on Blue
Shirt
Underground. Yeah,
sorry right about that. Bob Groder here.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
What do they call
good.
You? Mr. Road Trip?
That's me, Mr. Road Trip. That's me.
All right. Well, how are you, Bob? Welcome to the program.
Good. I want to talk about the Prust suspension and give my thoughts and then hear your rebuttal or agreement, disagreement afterwards.
Okay.
He should have gotten one game, but because Shanahan's been so inconsistent, there have been other plays that have been worse where nothing was called. Why do they keep giving us something when other teams do the same kind of stuff and get nothing? Just want to hear what your thoughts on that first off.
Eddie, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Oh, I'm not sure what you're comparing it to.
Ovechkin should have gotten suspended last round. I mean, I've lost track. There were so many in the first two rounds that Shanahan passed on and did nothing, and there was one on Ottawa where he didn't even make a phone call, and I've lost track. There's so many of them. And it's just that he singles out people and he uses the excuse, well, if he's injured, there's going to be a suspension. There was no injury. I was at this game. Why the hell is he suspended if there's no injury? That's all I got to say about it. You know, I mean, be consistent. That's what annoys me about this league.
Well, you're certainly right about that. I mean, I think, like you, that he deserved the one game from what, but the consistency is
it's bullshit.
It's bullshit, and there's no rhyme or reason. There's no.
Well, you want my honest opinion, and you probably won't
I want your honest opinion. I don't want you to lie to me.
Tortorella shot his mouth off after the Winter Classic and after the other time and got fined like $30,000. I feel the league's not going to go out of their way to go to help us in any rulings. People say I'm making this crap up, but you know what? There's got to be some truth to it, because after the Devils sued the league, after the Don Kaharsky incident back in 1988, the league had it out for him for like 10, 15 years.
Jim loves a good conspiracy, so he'll probably be on board with that.
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't say that's out of the realm of possibility.
Goes past Gary Buttface. You know, I've met the guy. He's a pompous ass. I've met him 3 or 4 times, and he thinks he's God. You know, and I'm angry at it, because the inconsistency is really what annoys me. Not that he got one game; he deserved it. But do it to everybody. Put it in the rule book next year so that everybody who does that type of play gets one game. They know it's going to be automatic. Not just it up to somebody to rule.
I mean, isn't this the trademark of the whole league and the hierarchy and the officiating inconsistency?
Yeah.
from the referees to
the same shit happened
Toronto
in 1979. It's been going on since I can remember watching hockey. Nothing has changed. Just the players and the people up top have changed. Other than that, it's run the same bullshit way.
I mean, you know, when Mario Lemieux said, I mean, I don't agree with much what Mario Lemieux said, but when he said it was
please, don't get me started on him from a year ago. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
But one of the things he did say, I think it was in the 80s, that this was a garage league. That's about the only true statement he's ever made, because it really is a garage league. Because
agreed.
At least in the old days, if you had one ref, you kind of knew the personality of the ref, and maybe you knew you were going to get no calls, or the guy was going to call everything, or this and that. Nowadays, I don't know what's going on. It's a totally different game. It's not consistent. One year they're calling everything, the next year they're not calling anything. I mean, you know. We've seen, how many years did we see they call everything in the first 20 games, and then after that
they
don't call it?
Well, they do that to set a precedent, and then they loosen up again. But they're inconsistent, and that's been going on now. I wish they would just be a little more consistent in their suspension givings. You know, it's just not right to, because, I mean, the thing that happened with Detroit in the first round, you know, that was another one. There was a non-suspension, and that was a horrible non-call. It's not just us. I mean, it's definitely – but we definitely have gotten the brunt of bad luck when it comes to calls against us versus teams that have done things to us that got, you know, nothing or, you know, minimal, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Tortorella being, just not cooperative and certainly isn't an ambassador that Gary, you know, Bettman wants it to be, the hockey.
He's not an ass kisser, let's put it that way.
Right, and think about even going back to this. You remember when Dolan would not be part? He wanted his separate own website, not affiliated.
The Garden sued the league, or the league sued the Garden, and they've been they try to force him to sell the team. So
yeah,
I don't think the league likes us at all, no matter what people say.
Nobody likes the Rangers.
You know, I get told that by Devil fans and everyone, we're arrogant fans. And guess what? We're not all arrogant. Some of us are actually very classy and nice people. And it just gets sick of hearing how arrogant Ranger fans are, because we're not all like that. Yeah, there's a handful like that with every team. It's not the majority. It's the minority.
Yeah.
I've been pretty angry.
I don't think Ranger fans are arrogant. I don't know what we have to be arrogant about.
Exactly.
but when we stick up for our team,
we
stick up for our team a little bit harder than some other teams. I mean, listen – in the pecking order of things, you know, the Rangers haven't done well, really. I mean, you know, over the last, you know, since we won the Stanley Cup. But the Islanders have sucked worse. So guess what? I'm going to beat up on Islander fans because I have to, you know, I don't want to talk about my problems, so I'll pick on an Islander fan. If that's arrogance, then I'm arrogant.
That's not arrogance. It's the arrogance. Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what these other teams' fans think of us. Anyway, changing the subject. Yesterday's game, I was there, and I'd say it was at least 30%. When we started scoring those goals, it sounded louder, much louder. We get much more aggressive and loud when we score there. It was at least 30, could have been 35, 40. But I got to say at least 30, not what they reported on TV, because I know what I heard with my own ears.
Well, I believe the great Bob Groeder. I don't believe anything I hear on TV.
That's right.
That's all I got to say tonight.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you so much for calling.
My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye. All right. Let's see. Lost one there. 973-287. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio.
Gentlemen, it's Daniel. How the hell are you? And it feels great to be up 2-1.
Hi, Dan. Yes, it does.
Quite an entrance.
You know, I'm not arrogant. I'm a proud Rangers fan, but I'm not arrogant.
Like I just said in the chat room, I'm not arrogant. I'm just an asshole.
I'm not arrogant. I don't understand. I mean, do Ranger fans, we're up 2-1. Do we think we have it clinched and we're going to win? All of
absolutely
us are still worried. You know?
Absolutely not. Because how many times have we seen some of these playoff games or these series? They've gone our way, and then all of a sudden something wacky happens. Or as being a Jet fan, something screwy is about to happen, and you pray to God it doesn't.
Right. But if a Devil fan comes at you or Jim and says, Rich suck, what are you going to say? You're going to be like, well, we're up 2-1. I don't know. If sucking's winning the series, well, I guess we suck, you asshole. If
exactly.
That's being arrogant, then that's arrogant. I don't get it. I mean,
I don't get it either. I guess Devil fans aren't the real tough hockey fans they used to be.
No. Choke to your home games.
Exactly.
Prove to me how good you are and how much you support your team. 30%, like Bob reported, 40%, whatever it was, it's a disgrace.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace. In the Eastern Conference Finals, please, in a rivalry, the battle across the Hudson, and what do they do? Come on.
It just goes to show you that no one wanted this arena in downtown Newark.
There just isn't enough fans.
That too.
For the Devils, for the Islanders, it's all Ranger fans. Ranger fans are all over the place. They dominate New Jersey.
The
they dominate Long Island. They dominate Connecticut. I mean, and New York City. So everybody leave.
Absolutely. Now,
I mean,
go
should forfeit.
Right, so. I agree. But let me just say this. Right now, the way that these Devils have been playing, you know what? You may have had the better of the play the first two periods. But just like Jimmy says, just like you say and every other Ranger fan says, you can lead or you can play the best in the first and the second, whatever have you. Did you put the puck in the net? You did not. Because why? Because our goaltending is better than yours because we've got King Henrik. You don't have Brizgalov again in round 3, boys. You have the new king or the new sheriff in the town, and that's Henrik Lundqvist. He is why the Rangers are up 2-1. And once the rest of the team, they're not exhausted or tired. I know Tortorella says they're not, but we can tell they're a little tired. You know, you're playing 2 game 7s in a row. You know, you're bound to have some exhaustion. But you have in front of you the best goaltender right now in the league and in the world, and that's Henrik Lundqvist.
Exactly.
Agreed.
I mean, he's better than Martin Brodeur, and that's the difference. And we pay him the big bucks to do so. So, hey, listen, I ain't trying to give back any of these wins because, you know, we got dominated, but we have Henrik Lundqvist.
That's all
he's
that matters.
He's been phenomenal.
He has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, We've had Richter. He was an all-world goalie, too. Won the World Cup of Hockey for the United States on Canadian ice in 1996. Stanley Cup winner, you know, silver medalist in the Olympics. We have now Henrik Lundqvist, gold medalist for Sweden, and a possibility that he could bring us another. He could bring us our first cup since that great 94 run. We'll see what happens. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good right now that the Rangers, they could end this maybe in 5 or 6. We'll see what happens. But here's the thing I'm a little upset about. It's with these officials. Again, why is it when a devil flops, you got to call it? Why is it it's a call against the Rangers and there's nothing? It's a flop.
I don't know. Do you have any specific instances? I know there were some calls against the Rangers that were kind of like, a little ticky-tack, but I don't know. I haven't seen it that unfair. I mean, but maybe you have. I don't know. I didn't even know there was a Ranger taxi squad.
Flag us. Here, we'll put the flag up. You can call the penalty. We'll go in the box. But you know,
not if the box is broken.
Yeah. How much money for the transformed garden, and you can't close the freaking penalty box door?
$14 billion renovation, but we kept the old box.
Yeah, right. By the way, I don't know if you guys heard or not, but apparently Chase lost $2 billion in the stock market because someone made bad trades.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And wow. Guess who sponsors the garden? Chase. And
great.
There goes $2 billion.
Yeah, but it's like 2% of their actual earnings, what they lost. They make like crazy amount of money. So don't worry about J.P. Morgan.
Oh, I'm
Chase.
Not worried about Chase at all. I'm just worried about gambling.
I'm a big banker. I'm a banker. I always wanted to be a banker.
You're a financier. Is that the word?
Financier, yes.
Financier.
And now on this episode of Blue Shirt Underground, Eddie Geich with the financial statement of the world today.
Don't buy stock in Facebook. That's all I can tell you.
All right, Dan, we got to run.
All right, guys, take care. Talk to you after game 4.
All right.
Take care, bye.
You too, bye.
Yes, and we will be back Tuesday night with the Game 4 wrap-up. Keeping with the phones, I believe this is Cutter. He's been on hold the longest. Cutter, what's going on?
Well, bite those devil dogs in the wieners.
What the hell was that?
There was no place for me to go. When you opened the conversation with bite those devil dogs in the wieners, it's all very queer.
Oh,
God.
No. What a crew.
Boy, what a show. Wow.
What a show. What a show.
Margaret, I believe this is Margaret. Margaret, is that you, Margaret?
Hi.
Hello, Margaret.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Listen, hold on a second. I just did something wrong. Hold on a second. Darn it. Yeah. I'm sorry. The sound came out of my computer and I'm sitting on it. All right, so as far as the penalty box door goes, do you guys skate? Do you actually skate in hockey rinks? Have you ever seen the condition of boards and glass and so forth? I skate in a brand new ice skating rink, and the doors stick all the time. If you got two 250-pound guys and they happen to hit a penalty box door the wrong way, it's going to break, whether you're in Madison Square Garden or you're in a brand-new arena. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So that door could have been broken for any number of reasons, not because it was a faulty piece of equipment installed under the new renovation. I just want to get that off my chest, okay?
All right. So you're the Madison Square Garden apologist.
No, I'm not the Madison Square Garden apologist. My friend Paul was out there doing his damnedest trying to fix that door, and who knows what the reason was why it was broken. But what I'm just saying to you is you get two 250-pound guys and somebody lays a check on somebody and it's right at that door, that's a vulnerable spot. And if it breaks, it breaks, and it can happen anywhere, not just at the New Garden. Okay? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, let's get that over. All right, so here's my deal here. What is the enigma that is John Tortorella? Is his strategy to piss off the media? I mean, I see something going on here where the dynamic is if he doesn't want to talk, he doesn't talk. But if he wants to talk, he really lets loose. And he only seems to do it, somebody goes him into doing it, like DeBoer. So you got some strategy going on between these two guys. One night, Tortorella comes off the ice after a loss, and he doesn't want to say anything to anybody. And people start asking him questions. He clams up because he doesn't want to throw his players under the bus. He doesn't want to let on if somebody's injured. And that's the right thing to do, but he goes about it in a wrong way. You can do it in a more agreeable manner and say...
More diplomatic.
Be more diplomatic, and you can say, you know, tons of stuff and not say anything. It's called hockey speak. But he doesn't even bother with all that BS. He just wants to do his job and not have to deal with all that. Unfortunately, he's in a media market where that's expected. So he's been here, what, 3 years now? He needs to learn how to deal with the media and not tell people to go F themselves like he told Brooksy a long time ago. But you also have to take it from where it comes. Glenn Sather is not exactly Mr. Communications either.
Who?
Glenn Sather. He doesn't talk to anybody.
I haven't seen him since his big head was on 24/7. He could be. He's like the Howard Hughes of the hockey GMs.
Okay. I agree. So on the one hand, you have Torts using his strategy not to give anything away. And that's good because it's nobody's business but his and the players, and what goes on in the room stays in the room, okay? But then he turns around and DeBoer makes some comments about, you know, calls not being made and Prush should be suspended for 5 games or whatever he's going to say. And then Torts turns around and talks about the picks and talks about the hit, the run that Parise took at Delzato. And he's doing that to, A, you know, go back at DeBoer. But he's also, and somebody else mentioned this before, because of Torts is bitching and is being fined and everything like that, criticizing the officiating and everything, that's going to put us in a bad light. But I think the opposite is true. I think if he turns around and he says, and people can clearly go back and look at the game and look at the picks, and look at the runs, and look at the hits that the Jersey was dishing out that weren't called and should have been. And they'll say, maybe he's got a point here. He's not just running his mouth or you know, just out of anger. So I think that he's a master manipulator, and that's part of his strategy. I think the whole thing is maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when the first thing you said. He's an enigma. He's a guy that you will hear from, experts will say he has a great rapport with the referees. The referees really like him. He's fair to them. The press, not so much. I mean, it doesn't help. They've got a lot of boneheads in there that don't know how to handle him or what to ask him. But maybe you really shouldn't have to, like, know and have to, you know, tiptoe around a press conference. And you're right. He should be able to bore them to death with answers, you know, that just are, like, say nothing. He's an enigma. I don't get it. I think there is some issues there that he needs to kind of mature a little bit. I know Ranger fans are not going to like this, but, you know, you gotta be a little bit more mature when dealing with, you know, you're an adult. You gotta act like a kid. But bottom line for me is screw it. As long as the Rangers are winning, I don't care if, you know, what kind of press conferences look like.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, but you're right. He's an enigma. And so we're still figuring out. We may never figure out what John Tortorella is all about when it comes to that.
The other question, the other thing I was going to say, Frost won game. That's probably fair. He did, his elbow did come up. He did hit Volchenko in the head. But considering the fact that Shea Weber did something much more egregious to Henrik Zetterberg at the beginning of the playoffs and only got a $2,500 fine, I don't know. It's a slippery slope. And once you make that kind of distinction, I've lost so much respect for Brendan Shanahan, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong for being as angry with him as I am. But he was one of my favorite players of all time, and I think that doing this job, and it's a thankless job, is destroying his legacy. I honestly do.
I agree with you there. I don't know. To me, for the lack of a better word, I mean, you got to be Bettman's bitch in order to be this to do this job. And that's anytime you ally yourself with Gary Bettman, you're going to lose as a hockey player. You're going to lose rep. So
I just want to do a parting as a parting note. I'm going to a function at the NHL store on Thursday, a business related function. They're doing some kind of a thing for the travel industry with regard to Las Vegas. And, you know, they have the NHL awards there and everything. So I'll call you back and let you know who I am hobnobbing with. And if I happen to be hobnobbing with someone we all hate, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm representing my company, so I can't be rude.
You got to be professional, Gary.
I know I got to be professional, but, you know, spill a drink, step on a toe. It's so sexy.
Well, Margaret, keep us posted. We've only got
minutes. I'll let you know who I see. And if I see Shanahan, I don't know if I'm going to say something to him or not. I really don't. Like, he could give a rat's ass.
Voice your opinion. Only go around in this world once.
And that's,
all right,
and
Margaret.
I would have socked that E.J. Raddick right in the mouth if I see him. That guy.
He's been on the show. He's a nice guy.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye, Mark.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bella!
Hey.
What's going on?
Look, I sound terrible because my asthma is bad.
You got asthma?
Yeah, it's bad, but that's okay. So listen, my take on Torts is just this. I would rather him go out in the media and say he's keeping it in the room and deal with his players first and then come back and address the media like he does in, like, the post-practice interviews. I mean, I don't think that makes him unclassy. Is he brash at times? Well, yeah, but he's always been that way. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, he's been that way in Tampa. Like, I don't understand. What is the shock here? What is everybody fucking crying about?
I think it's because it's a whole new audience. I mean, we've been following this since he's been here. From the, you know, did you get beat up at a bus stop with Brooks as a kid? I mean, we've seen all this stuff. But now that you're seeing a lot of other media sources and the Rangers getting some coverage, and they're like, wow, the Rangers have this coach that's a complete maniac that makes, you know, Rex Ryan look sane. You know, everybody, it's becoming a bigger and bigger story. And when the Rangers lose and it gets deeper and deeper into the playoffs, he gets crazier and crazier.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody loved it when he was complaining about the Pens, though. Then he could be, you know, then he could be a dick. It was okay.
Right. And now it's just, you know, it basically is things are going good. You're going to get sunshine and smiles pretty much. If they lose, he's going to be a douchebag. That's it.
And he's just as pissed when they lose as we are.
Yeah. And
so,
he's protective of those guys.
Yeah, he absolutely
doesn't want anybody
I appreciate that.
But he's also, he's got to be held accountable, too. And he's got to be, as a coach, he's out there. He's the face of the franchise. There's nobody else. We got Dolan. We don't know where he is. Like I said, you know, Sather, it could be a ghost. I don't know if he's still alive or what's going on. He could be just an apparition by this point. He's the only one out there. He's the only one out there. And, you know, when you're asked the question, when did you take the time out, just freaking say, well, I felt it was appropriate at the time.
Good night,
everybody. That's what I think.
Well, before I get cut off, I just want to say, fuck the Devils.
You don't get cut off.
Okay.
We keep going.
I hate the bitch work. Fuck them.
I'm with you.
Well,
we got this. We're going to the finals. We got it.
Well, Bill, I hope you're right, because if they don't go to the finals, there's gonna be a long, there's a lot of big funeral procession of shows following.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. Gonna be ugly.
Like,
all right. Well, you guys have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
Take care and hope the asthma gets better.
Thank you. All right.
Bye. All right. Another one in the books. Thank you for listening, everyone. Edward, always a pleasure. I'm going to go outside and see if I can catch this eclipse.
Okay.
Did you hear about that? The eclipse?
No, I don't care.
You don't care? We don't care. Yeah, we're having an annular eclipse. So,
maybe that's a sign the Rangers will get 3 even strength goals tomorrow. Well, join us on Facebook, BoucherUnderground.com. Podcast people, I love you. Jim loves you.
iTunes.
You take care.
You too, sir.
iTunes, Zune.
Got it.
Shovio.
Not yet. They don't exist anymore. It's DARPA TV or something.
DARPA.
Yeah. The DARPA initiative.
The DARPA initiative. I love it. All right.
Talk to you later.
Take care, Jim.
Good night. You too.